Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today I'm excited to welcome our franchise partner of Burlington and Central Triad, North Carolina locations, Wendy Eckert. She is the jack of all trades. Between being a mom and running her gyms, she's also a broadcaster for the NASCAR Cup Series. Being on the road and diving into the world of NASCAR does not stop her from changing the lives of the people in her communities. And I'm excited for you guys to hear her story. So welcome, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for having me, Morgan.
You're welcome. So I know I gave a little brief bio of what you do and who you are, but I would love the opportunity for you to tell our listeners a little bit about you, your family, your background, and just really what's gotten you to where you're at today.
Yeah, so I started at Burn. My Burn journey started 7 years ago, much like everyone else as a member, but really my profession and my career has been in NASCAR for over 21 years now, which is kind of crazy. Since I'm the young age of 29 still, I'm just kidding. I started in NASCAR because my father was a driver at the time, a retired NASCAR driver. And we moved from Chicago to down south to North Carolina while I was in high school. And I pursued a career in the media world. I didn't want to work on race cars and I didn't want to drive them. My dad gave me an opportunity to my brother and I both to be race car drivers. And I didn't really have an interest in that at the time. So I went down the media route with a lot of advice from peers around me. And that's what I studied in college. And when I left college, I started a broadcasting career at 21 and started from the ground zero, like really worked my way up from production. When you start in television production, like the worst job is logging tapes. And that's what I did right out of college. And I quickly worked to a local news channel, which was actually Adelphia Cable News in Mooresville, North Carolina, not far from headquarters.
Yeah.
And from there, I got my foot in the door in NASCAR and worked up the ranks in the broadcasting world. And in 2004, became the first female pit road reporter, the youngest one in the history of NASCAR to go on the air and cover a broadcast race. And that was in 2004. So from there, it just kind of took off. It's really a long 21-year story. And I've had the opportunity to be the first of a lot of things in our industry, but never with intention to be the first female. It just, nobody had done it before, you know? So I was able to break a lot of barriers and go through these glass ceilings that nobody had done, which was super cool. But to me, I was just being myself. I was being authentic and doing what I love. And I'm really passionate about the sport and growing up in it as a little girl and watching my dad race and watching all the people around me. I just absorbed a lot of information. So I was able to translate that to the folks at home and just, I'm really honest with everything. I don't have a cover up. And so that really made it authentic to the fans at home over the years. And I really formed relationships with a NASCAR fan base over the last 21 years. So that's kind of where my NASCAR journey started. And I just walked in the door at Burn 7 years ago, knowing one person at Burn Bootcamp. Wow. One person is all I knew at Burn, which is crazy when you think about it now, right?
Yeah.
So from there, I became a certified trainer as a passion project because I thought, well, this is fun. I want to do this too. In my spare time, I was also traveling, still doing my broadcasting. And from there, the opportunity just led, you know, I was watching all my friends successfully open up Burn franchises. And my husband and I decided to go down that route. So it's been a really crazy journey, but so, so fun.
Yeah. And it is a family affair. I know that, you know, you do this with your husband. And so I'd love to talk a little bit about that. But I know it transformed, or I'd love to hear, how did Burn transform your life as a member before really getting into the space of that entrepreneurship?
Yeah, much like a lot of you that go through this transformation story that are tuning in, you know, I was a tired, overweight mom, a lot of hours that I was working, I was running all over the place. I was traveling, You know, typically we traveled about 34,000 air miles a year. We had 38 events. We worked every weekend. So I was literally coming home and living in my house for about 3 days to do laundry, switch out my suitcase, and head back out of town. So our lives, and my husband works in the industry as well, we were living the rat race, and we have for many years, full time. We lived out of a bus many of those years. And from there, I just decided it was really time to settle down. We had had our son. He was 3 years old, when I started to back off my NASCAR schedule. And for those first 3 or 4 years, our son traveled full time with us. And so I relied on a lot of moms, and that's a whole nother story that's related to Burn as well. But to get to where I was just ready to kind of focus on myself and put myself back as a priority. And when I did that at Burn Bootcamp, I realized how much I needed it, right? I realized how much it was good for my soul. It was good for physically as well. And from that transformation really started, it was a mindset shift, as we all know that we have at Burn Bootcamp. It really shifted my mindset on the priorities in life and what I wanted to accomplish and things that I never had an opportunity. I was living like a really awesome, fun life. Like I'd done some really cool things, but was I doing anything to fulfill myself? Like what was I really focusing on? And so we really just started to reevaluate that. And when I got into Burn and my travel schedule was slowing down a little bit, it allowed me to kind of dig into the community at Burn Bootcamp. Mm-hmm. And it opened up a whole new avenue for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think that it takes me to my next question of, you know, you are switching gears quite often, right? NASCAR to like landing on the runway and driving to like your gym at 3 a.m. to like open it up, right? So
I have.
You've got a lot of different like lanes that you're in. And so what truly motivates you? You know, like what motivates you to do all of those things and do them well? Because I'm sure like, that can be exhausting, right? So we've got to have that intrinsic motivation, and your mind can get bogged down, right? And so what is it that you wake up every day like, I'm set out to do this because I'm motivated?
I'm very intentional with my actions, and I am really motivated in itself just to do life and get as much as I can out of it. I've gone through a lot of heartaches and a lot of doors being shut in my face. So when a door opens up, I do take the opportunity to 100% the best that I can in my ability. And I'm really passionate about things. That's one thing. When I do something, I'm very wholeheartedly. And that passion kind of gives you your energy, right? I thrive off my passion. I thrive off the energy of others around me. My motivation is my family. I love providing for my family. And now my son, he's 10, which is crazy because it's been 7 years at Burn. So he's grown up in the Burn family, and being able to provide for him in our family and watching him being really shaped by the Burn Bootcamp model has been really cool for us. And so that's really a motivation in itself. I know people are watching me. I know not only my NASCAR industry people, but Burn Bootcamp, you know, with our gyms, our two gyms, and the members that, you know, I attend Burn Bootcamp Concord. I own Central Triad and Burlington, but really I'm every morning at 5 a.m. I'm at Burn Concord, which is my home gym. Yeah. And so those people keep me motivated. They're relying on me. And so, yes, when I sleep vertically on a West Coast trip plane, I am known to get off that plane, get in my car, and just go to the gym and get it over with. Because in my mind, I like to check that box off and move on with my day. I have a lot of things that I need to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And for me to do that, if I take care of myself and I make myself the priority, I'm able to accomplish so much more in that day.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going home and going to sleep. Like I'd rather just get it done. And I usually don't go back to sleep. I usually have just slept on the airplane vertically, which is not the greatest, I know. But it's fun just to like get your day started, even when I'm not traveling. And just to, my alarm goes off at 4 a.m. every day. I'm an early riser. And I always have been because of my TV industry as well. We worked in early shows. So I was in rehearsal at 5:30 in the morning my whole life. So for me, this early grind is kind of ingrained in me. Yeah. So some people are not naturally an early riser, and that's okay. Like my husband loves to work out at Burn at night. Mm-hmm. He hates working out in the morning. That's him. Like you do you find what works for you. and thrive off where you are most successful and where you can accomplish the most in your day, because that's what's going to be the biggest benefit for you.
Absolutely. So let's talk about leadership, because, you know, as you're telling your story, even about your journey in NASCAR, like, you've led, right? You've led in that space, and now you're leading in your communities, and you're leading a team of people in both of your gyms, and you're a leader even as a member, right, in Burn Concord. So what helps you learn to be a better leader to all those people around you?
Yeah, I'm always trying to lead the way and be a good voice. Now, sometimes I don't always make the best decisions. I kind of have a way of, like, being myself, being authentic, but also trying to be a role model for people. I don't usually follow the status quo. I go against the grain. We all know that. Like, everyone that knows me knows I go against the grain. I push the envelope. I work inside the gray area of rule books. Like, that's how I function. And the reason I do that is because I feel like I could get more out of my day, out of life, out of whatever that I'm accomplishing if I just push the envelope a little bit more. And so that in itself is, you know, inspires people. And it's not to say that my husband is a rule follower. Like, that's what he does. And I think we balance each other out quite well. And I think you have to find what works for you in order to make you the most productive in your day. For me, it is pushing the envelope. I am a doer. I'm not a list maker. So I'm not an organized person. So I can't be the one that makes a to-do list, because usually by 7 a.m. it's thrown in the trash. Like, I get aggravated with it. So I just go and I do, and I check things in my head that I want to get accomplished, but I'm not really like an organized role model for those people. So if you're an organized person, more power to you. Don't look at me for your organization, because that is where I enlist the help of others. And I say that as a leader, I think you really have to rely on other strengths. For me, I have an amazing team at both of our gyms. And for me to be able to lead them properly, I have to let them do their jobs, and I have to let them do what they're good at. So my goal as a leader is to find what everybody's strengths are and play off of those and let them excel at their strengths. I have somebody that is super organized when I'm not. I have somebody that's really good with numbers when I don't like to touch the books. Like, that's where we thrive as a team, and myself as a leader, because I'm allowing them to do that. I don't micromanage. I hate micromanaging. It's not my job. I don't feel good being micromanaged. Let me do my thing. Let me do what I'm good at, and I will be much better off in the long run. So as a leader, that's what I try to do. And you know how that is, Morgan. I mean, you're leading hundreds of people, and it's hard to, you can't micromanage everyone.
No, I'm very bad at micromanaging as well. And you and I are probably very opposite. You are more like Devin. I'm probably more like Jared, where I am that organized list maker, and I am a detail person. But that doesn't mean that I like to micromanage, because I know that you get the best work out of other people when you empower them and when you put trust in them, and then they're going to put trust back in you. And I've learned that, hey, I have a tall mission that I'm trying to accomplish. There's no way I could do it without the people around me buying into that and being on the journey with me. And that's in all areas of my life. You know, it's bringing the right people around you, whether that's the friendships, and the employees and our franchise partners, and, you know, just the people you surround yourself with, they've got to be going in that same direction as you. And I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
I say that with your friends too. You have to surround yourself with friends that you want to, you know, that emulate what you want to be like in life, because that's how you guys are going to act. You know, surround yourself with winners, because you all will win.
Yes. Yes. I think it just, you just don't have time for negative people. And like, it's one of those things where, hey, it's hard to cut people out of your life, but it's necessary if you want to keep moving and pushing your envelope and getting the full potential out of yourself. You can't surround yourself with the small minds.
No, you can't. And I have been, in my career, it's really funny, when I first started, you're on, you know, under a microscope in television, and people are really quick to criticize you because they're on the other side. It's usually people at home watching that want to criticize everything you say or do. But you experience this as well in the role that you're in. People are always going to criticize what you do. They're going to question your ethics. They're going to question, but if they don't truly know you, they don't have the right to do that. You know, people don't know the true you. They don't know what is at your heart of what you're trying to accomplish. And whether that was in my broadcasting career or in my burn career, like I've been questioned on a lot of things, but you have to stay true to yourself. You have to be true to what you believe in and what you know is true, because that's what's going to get you to the other side. Not bending by people's opinions and not, you know, crushing yourself and your soul because you're listening to them. By all means, if you're listening to this podcast, please don't take those negative thoughts that people have put into your head and actually put them into play. You know, it's you just have to stay positive, keep your head up, keep grinding, keep your eyes forward. I always say eyes forward, and don't worry about the outside noise. You know, you stay in your lane and you'll be successful. Yeah.
It's so true. So we have lots of mothers that are listening. So as a mother, you know, you are juggling all these things. Caleb's 10. And I think, you know, that's probably the biggest question I always get is, how do you balance it all? How do you do all of it but, like, still be a good mom? And so I always have to ask my moms this question. Is there anything that you do specifically or any tips that you have to find balance?
So for me, it's not, and I've heard Devin say this too, you almost have to mesh everything together. You know, you have to combine your family life with your career life. And so we've done that in our family pretty much for all of our son's life, for his 10 years. You know, when he was born basically on the road. I was pregnant on the air, about to have a baby. I was having, you know, my contractions on television. Tell me that's an awesome experience when there's a high definition camera in your face and you're, you know, about to have a baby. So I went to the bitter end with Caleb. And so he literally, as soon as I could get cleared to go back, I went back on the air. And so I didn't really have that, time at home. I was home maybe 4 weeks, not the normal. And I had worked all the way to the time I was pregnant because we were flying on NASCAR planes. And so for me, it was important just to dive back in. And that's what I wanted. Like that's what Wendy wanted. So that's what Wendy did, you know, and everyone has to do what works for them. If you need to take 12 weeks off after you have a baby, by all means, you need to do that. But for me, mentally, physically, like I wanted to get back into the grind, get back into my routine. And so we just packed up our son and took him on the road with us. And so he was 3 weeks old going through a Vegas casino, pushing him in his little stroller. And I'm like, this is so awkward. They're like, nobody has a baby in Vegas. Oh yeah, that's right. We do a NASCAR. So he lived in our bus. You know, we had support systems around us. And it was important for me to spend those evenings with him. We had really long production hours in television. And so we did have a nanny with us, and we also had a mom on the road that helped us out. It was one of the NASCAR wives who's a Burn Boot Camp member that I work out with every morning at 5 a.m. still today. And that's Jamie McDowell. Her husband was on the road and she had one child at the time. She now has four kids, but she stepped up and said, I see you need help. Let me help you. And we didn't know each other that well. And so you're talking a decade ago. I would literally take my son, knock on their bus at 5 o'clock in the morning, hand over my newborn baby and wave goodbye and go do rehearsal at 5:30 a.m. And so it was moms like that that really got me through those really hard days and really hard hours to then allow, number one, to allow me to do my job for my family, but really allow us to have an opportunity on all those weekends to travel as a family. I didn't have to leave him home in Charlotte. He got to go on the road with us. And so that was an awesome opportunity for our family. My husband is also working in the industry still today as an engineer. And so he was on the road. We were traveling a lot. But for me as a mom, about year four, it really did get tiresome. And I recognized that. And I didn't want to be the mom handing off my child to a nanny every day in order for me to go do this really glamorous, fabulous job, which was great, but I was ready to back it down a little bit. So we changed our kind of our ways on the road, and I switched from television to radio. And so I've been in radio broadcasting now for Sirius XM for the last 7 years. So for 14 years, I did that grind, which was very intense on television. And when I stepped over to radio, it really just took a huge weight off my shoulders as a mom. I didn't have as much responsibility and so many requirements of me in my career. So it allowed me to spend more time with my son. And then we backed off our schedule even more. And I was able to be home and let him be a child at home and play sports. And he's into baseball. Like, he's a travel baseball kid now. So I'm now a baseball mom, which is crazy. But the last, I'd say the last 5 year transition, you know, it's, I've taken more of the NASCAR work and shifted gears where Bern is replacing that time and that, time, money, everything, you know, so I can have that switch, and it's allowing me more time with my family. My husband is working from home a lot of times, doing his engineering work from home. So we work together quite a bit on our burn business as well at home, which is a wonderful opportunity. But it also allows us time with our son back at home again. So as a mom, I think it's super important to recognize when you need to, like, turn the corner or when you need to switch lanes.
Maybe.
Yeah, and it's okay if you have to. You just have to be willing to accept that maybe it's that time. And for me, it's, I'm at another crossroads again. Like, do I want, you know, is that time for me coming to an end in NASCAR where I truly don't even want to be on the road as much? Because when I do, it's taking away not only time from my family, but away from my team, which is very difficult to catch up on when I come back. You know, we have 34 employees and they're all talking to me while I'm gone on the road, and we're in communication every day. And it is playing a little bit of a catch up when I come back in town. So we're at that point where, you know, when do I stop traveling altogether and kind of close that chapter and move on to the next? And it's okay to be able to recognize that as well.
Yeah. And what I hear is, like, it's going to ebb and flow too. I think as a mom, you know, what my life was with one kid and then two kids and then three kids. And then now the ages as they get older. Right. And I know I'll just have to continue to reevaluate. Where's my time being spent? What are my priorities? What do I want to make sure I am absolutely making time for with the family? But I'm also super passionate about my career. And so it's always been hard for me. I'm kind of, I share a similar story where, like, maternity leave wasn't a thing for me because I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm in the delivery, you know, bed and I'm on my emails, but I wanted to be, you know, like, that's what fulfills Morgan, is to have both. And doesn't mean there's moments of overwhelm of, like, having a lot on your plate. You're going to have that. You can't have an expectation that there's going to be times, right, where you feel unbalanced, but it's just about working through those ebbs and flows. And like you said, turning corners when you need to, reprioritizing what matters. So, all right. So the last one,
it's been fun.
We navigated a pandemic.
Oh yes.
And, you know, gosh, how long was your gym open before?
We opened in November 2018. So yeah, we had a good year and a half. Year and a half. We were closed during our 2 year anniversary, but we had a good strong start, unlike some of the gyms that had to be closed
Learned anything about yourself as an entrepreneur during some of the hardest times that we've experienced?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I think it was actually, I really thrive under pressure, and I thrive under not hardships, but really roadblocks. And when things get put in my way, I have a way of getting around them. And whether that's just experiences because of my prior career, the last 21 years, I've had doors shut in my face. I've had, you know, people that believed in me and people that didn't believe in me. I'll give a quick example. I had a network executive. I was working for one of the TV networks, and I was fired and rehired by the same TV network by two network executives within 30 days. So one network executive did not believe in me, one did, and they let me go, and then they hired me back. So talk about, like, really truly just staying true to yourself and believing in yourself when somebody else doesn't believe in you, but it takes somebody, you know, to back you up. And so those experiences, you know, led me throughout life to become really a strong mind, strong-willed person. And then when I had my accident in 2018, and I know we haven't talked about that in detail, but that really was, I've always been a really grateful personality anyway. Anyone that knows me knows I live pretty grateful in my life. But after that, I felt like there was so much more to life and so much more to accomplish because I was here, and that my story was not ending. You know, that was an opportunity for me to write the story. and keep going on in the chapters. And for that moment in the pandemic, when everything shut down, I'm like, well, we got this. Like, it was, of course, supposed to be much shorter. And so every time, every time it got extended, you're like, okay, I can handle this. Okay, I can handle this. And you know, at one point you're like, all right, is this like, I'm ready for this to end.
Yeah.
But I knew if we just stayed steady and we stayed true to ourselves, that we could come out on top. We can come out stronger as a team. When we shut our doors on March 16th, we shut our doors at 6 p.m. right after that last camp. I immediately called our team and I pushed them to start our studio that evening to go live on March 17th, the first day we were closed. Mm-hmm. And that was my production experience, my TV background. I quickly turned our gym into a studio, and we were on Zoom at 5 a.m. on March 17th, one of the first burns to go live. And nobody even knew what Zoom was at first. You know, everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, what, wait, what are you doing? And so I didn't care. My trainer, Ian, he believed in me. You know, I said, this is what we're going to do. I know you don't know how to do it, and that's okay. We're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. But this is what we're going to do. And so we had a plan. And I led our team, and it was, I mean, honestly, it was pretty flawless. It was good. You know, it was, fortunately, everything went right. Now, over those course of the time of closure, there was some hard times, but our community kept us together. You know, our community is the one that believed in us, and we believed in them, and we weren't leaving them, and they weren't leaving us. And the more we were closed, the stronger that bond got with our members, you know, to the point where they knew I was coming to the gym one day to work on something, and they did the drive-by parade for me with signs, and I was overwhelmed and so grateful. Like, my heart was filled, because I really was tired. I was tired of being closed. I was tired of not being able to provide a space for our members, but they reminded me and they filled my heart with joy, because they didn't need a physical space. They just, you know, they needed our community. And that's what the reminder was, is that we were a community, we were coming together, and nothing was going to break us apart.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about, you know, as a leader, you have to be open to learning. And I've learned so much. I think we've touched on a couple of our learning lessons as leaders. But can you think of something that one of your employees taught you that's just really stuck with you over these last couple of years?
Well, they keep me on my toes for sure. I'm constantly learning from my team. They have all the qualities that I don't, which is why I say that's why they're on the team, because you have to find people that balance you out and that can do the things that maybe you can't do. You know you can utilize your time elsewhere. So my team members are constantly filling the gaps for me, and they're constantly teaching me what they're good at, to make us all better as one unit. Same thing with my husband. Like, he's really good with numbers. I hate messing. I always tell the employees they probably wouldn't get paid if it was for me, because payroll wouldn't get done. Like, that's how I am. I'm just not the numbers person. I'm the go-getter. I'm the face. Yeah. I'm the voice.
You're the vision. You're the
vision. Yes. And I love interacting with people. And so you put me at a laptop to do a profit and loss report, I want to go insane. Like, sorry, Dave, but that's just not my jam. And so I know my strong points, but I'm constantly learning from my team on how to become a better leader, and listening to them. I think it's super important to listen to your team. It's not always just talking, even though I love to talk. Sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut and listen to them. Listen to their needs, what they need at that moment, and it can change for your team. And being able to react at a moment's notice and being able to shift gears, I think that's important as a leader. Yes. They've taught me that it's not just my way. It's not, I'm listening to them. I'm taking in their opinions, mm-hmm. and I'm putting them to play. I always let them set our goals. I let them set what they want to accomplish, because then they're more likely to get it. It's not me telling them what we should do. Yes. It's not me telling them how many vouchers we're going to sell this month. No, it's them wanting to achieve it, because they've set the bar for themselves. And I'm here cheering them on and clapping them on, high-fiving them all the way. And that's how we succeed as a team. So just constantly learning from them on all different avenues.
Yeah, I think one of the best lessons or ways that I shifted my communication and leadership style was, everybody was coming to me in the beginning saying, what do you think, Morgan? What should we do? What should we do? And I started asking the question back, what do you think? Right? And like you said, it's like letting them build that plan, and you're there to support them and course correct as you need to, right? So yep. They learn what's right and what's wrong, I guess. But when you start asking them back, well, what do you think? What should we do? How can we get better? You know, it's letting them be part of that bigger plan is so important as a leader, instead of always telling. That's what a dictator does. Right.
Yes.
And it's like, it's very easy to think that's what the role of a leader is, but that's not.
Right. Right. It's always listening. It's always a hard, listening. It's a hard act too. Like it's taking me practice.
Yes. I hear you. So what about Caleb and, you know, your son, what is a lesson that you hope that he, you know, 20 years from now can look back and say, you know what, my mom taught me this.
It was funny, just last night when we were going to bed, he was asking a lot of details about my accident from 2018, and he's never done that before. We had seen a runner on the road. For those of you that don't know, I was struck by a vehicle in 2018 while I was out jogging in California. I was working a broadcast out west. So not only was I in the hospital in California dealing with a skull fracture and a concussion, and my calf bone had been hit and detached. But then I had to travel back west. And so I was without my son for a while, and he sort of remembers, it was 3 years ago, some of the details, but some of the details we never told him. Yeah. And last night, it was just ironically, he started to ask me questions when he saw a runner in the crosswalk wearing a neon vest. And he said, Mom, if you had that vest on, maybe you wouldn't have gotten hit. And I said, I know, buddy, right? That would have been helpful, and a helmet.
Yeah.
But he asked a lot of questions about that night and about that incident. And I had franchise partner and my best friend, Stephanie Drew, with me in California at the time. My husband was not out there. And so the only person out there with me was Steph Drew. And so she was able to see firsthand everything that I was going through physically and mentally, and kind of out of it. But my son really has learned so much about, he said, Mom, I'm so glad you're still here. I said, I'm glad I'm still here too, Caleb.
Yeah.
And he said, I just don't know what life would be like without you. And I just know that he is learning not only to be a good person, but to be a good leader for people, because he knows the struggles that I went through. He watched me go through physical therapy. He watched me go through a lot of memory issues. And I do have memory issues, and I can blame it on my skull fracture and my concussion. But he's so open-minded, and he's so grateful as a little kid, which is awesome to see as a parent. You hope that your child is grateful. He's been given a lot of opportunities in life, and he's traveled so much and has seen so many things and experienced because of my NASCAR career. But for him to be, you know, humbled and grateful is a good feeling as a parent. And that's really what you want. You want them to learn like the true lessons in life, mm-hmm. and not get wrapped up in the things they get to do. And as an entrepreneur, it's funny because he started an art business on the side because he wanted to have his own business. And so he sells his artwork to his buddies, and he has a little online thing that he does, and he went to a craft show, and he had canvas art, and he charged money, and then he took the money and he bought things for other people, and he gave away stuff. And it was just a really cool, you know, way to, I know he's being influenced by Jared and I.
Yeah.
Not only with our business savviness, but our physical fitness as well. He's really into travel baseball, and so there's a huge influence on preparing for those events and preparing for the sporting events. Like, he's in the garage, he'll create his own workout, and he'll get the neighborhood boys, there's several of them all the same age, and they'll do a workout, and they'll write it on the whiteboard, and they'll start doing burn style workouts. They'll get the ladders out, and they'll get the kettlebells out, and they'll say, okay, we're going to do 10 kettlebell swings, and we're going to go through the ladder 3 times, and then we're going to sprint to the roundabout and sprint back. And I just love it because I know that's Burn Boot Camp, and I know he's being influenced by his mom and dad, and then he's influencing other kids in the neighborhood to do the same. So to watch that and see the effect that it has on him, And to be able to spend so much time with him, because I'm not in an office and I'm not 9 to 5, I'm able to, you know, drop him off at school and pick him up from school every day. We don't have a bus system, so it's mom going there and picking him up, and I get all that time with him in the car. And so it's just, it's an awesome opportunity for me to be able to blend my life as an entrepreneur and as a mother.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That makes my heart so happy to hear that. He's doing that and impacting his own little community.
Yes.
Through Burn and through your guys' valuable lessons and examples. So I've just got two more questions, and I think they're really important ones. So I wanna definitely get them both in this podcast. But, you know, you talked a lot about you were the first female in you know, your industry doing what you did. And so what have you had to overcome as a female entrepreneur? Is there anything that sticks out that was additional roadblocks because you're a female?
Well, to start it off with, when I started out 21 years ago in NASCAR broadcasting, and there wasn't a lot of females, first of all, your wardrobe that they handed us, I had all men's wardrobe. So there wasn't even women's clothing for me to wear. I had to wear the men's clothing of logoed shirts. And I said to them, do you think we could possibly get a women's shirt for me to wear? Like, they're like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. But it had never been done before. Like, there was never any woman to wear a uniform. So like, that was never had crossed their mind. And so that was like the very start of it 21 years ago. And I'm so blessed. Like, my mom, she's super cool. And my dad had an all-female pit crew in the 1980s, which was also unheard of. So my mom was the tire changer. Women were not allowed in the NASCAR garage back then. So she had to be escorted in. She was also the car owner listed on for my dad's team. And so not only did the women had to be escorted into the garage, like, that's just unheard of these days. Like, there's so many women working in NASCAR now. But how it started and how I grew up and how I watched my mom kind of pave that way allowed me to see that I can do anything I wanted in any industry, even if it was male dominated, and I can do it well and be respected. And because of that childhood and because of my mom being such an awesome role model, it allowed me to have the confidence to go into that avenue and go into that environment surrounded by men and have the confidence to know that I belonged there. You know, I had the education and I had the street knowledge and the street cred that I knew more, if not, you know, most than some of those guys. So it was a good experience. What I learned was I needed to earn respect, right? I wasn't there a flash in the pan. I wasn't there to be, you know, a bright shining light. I wasn't there for attention. It wasn't about, you know, the clothes that I wore in the garage. I didn't care about that really. I just wanted a female shirt, right? But it was more about showing people that I belonged there in the beginning. And for that reason, you know, that I think that made a big impact in my career early on, which allowed me to stay steady for all of those years and really set the tone. And not only that, but, you know, I was able to accomplish a lot of firsts as a female, first youngest pit reporter and the first female play-by-play announcer for NASCAR, which had never been done before, which is kind of crazy. Like, you know, nobody's ever done this before. But it was a big deal, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to hold that title. But now where we are, like, it paved the way for so many other women in our sport, and I'm so grateful for that, and I'm so grateful that other women followed that and then are pursuing their passions, because it really just opened up the door in the last 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us what your favorite part of being a business owner, entrepreneur is.
I think the favorite part for me is really just impacting the lives at Burn Bootcamp. Like, we have amazing members, and I'm really big into knowing our members and knowing their stories and knowing everybody's names and knowing everybody's faces and their kids. And for me to be able to know how we've impacted their lives is truly like the icing on the cake of what we do as entrepreneurs. It's it's not only about running a business, it's about impacting lives. And so when you hear you know, about a member, how we saved her from alcoholism, how we've saved somebody else from suicide, like, that is real life examples. And when you hear that from your members, oh, it tears up your heart, but it makes you so proud for the work that you've done. And it makes all those hard days and hard hours and all the criticism you've received as a business owner over, you know, well worth it, and it covers up all the bad days, right?
Yep.
And that's what I say, is that rely on the positive community members, rely on the people that are truly impacted by burn, because they're going to fill your tank up.
Yes.
They're going to keep your tank full. And so when you do that, and you get to know your members on a different level, and you realize sometimes you don't even know the impact you make until later. And I shared that story with somebody. It was, you don't really know what you're doing to your community to impact them until they step forward and they share that, and they open up their heart and they trust you.
Yeah.
And that's when you really reap the rewards as an owner, and you've gone through this as well. But I think that's the coolest part of this journey at Burn, is just watching that the lives that we've impacted over the years.
100%. I agree. I the feedback loop that we receive is, it's just, I can't even describe it. You know, like you said, it does truly fill your cup up. And I know that but we're also very grateful to have a business that does that, because I know some people, you know, they don't have that feedback loop that comes as often as we get to receive it. And that's where I think you get people that are no longer passionate about their job or their career or what they're doing. And that's why I think it is just so important to always align yourself with what you truly believe in and what you're passionate about. And sometimes that means taking a leap of faith and, you know, losing the security of a job to go after something that you are passionate about. And I'm grateful that we've been able to do that at Burn Bootcamp. Yeah.
And you have. I mean, you look at the lives that you've impacted, just the franchise partners alone that you guys have impacted, and how they've gone out into Burn Nation and spread their wings and have been able to support your mission and carry on your message to Burn Nation has been really remarkable. I think it's awesome. And if anyone's tuning in and interested, I swear they need to call me, because I will tell them about the pros and the cons. I will tell the all the good and all the bad. And Jolene knows this. I'm very open-minded. But if they're looking at franchise partner world, Burn Bootcamp, man, it is a journey. It is fun. It is hard work, but it's so worth it.
Yes. And she's being for real, you guys. Like, she'll tell you the honest truth. And that's what you want, right? Like, and listen, there's good days and there's bad days of ownership, right? It doesn't matter what business you're in, what franchise you're in, or, you know, really what job you're in. But definitely take her up on that if you're interested. And guys, if you are in the Burlington area, in the Central Triad area, where can they find you, Wendy?
I'm a little bit everywhere. it's hard to find me. it's funny. Last week, I put 4 tanks of fuel in my car in 6 days, and I did not go out of town. I only went to the gym. So I'm like, I need to back it down a little bit. So it's nothing for me to jump in my car and head to any of my gyms. You know, one is in Kernersville, outside Winston-Salem High Point area, and the other one is Burlington near Elon College. I'm also at Burn Concord, working out every morning at 5 a.m. But then they here, there, everywhere, and a NASCAR race in between. So, but of course, social media is the best way to track me down when I'm not in a gym or not located on a GPS tracker. I'm traveling all around North Carolina on a weekly basis, but it's fun. I really enjoy it. I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have signed up for something I didn't know I couldn't do. And so I don't have a problem with like jetting all around. Like it's therapeutic for me sometimes, you know, to get in my car and drive 75 miles to my gym.
Yeah.
It gives me time for myself to think about things and really focus on what I need to get accomplished for the day. And sometimes catch up with, friends or employees, team members, whatever the case may be. So it gives me an opportunity to just kind of like pause and have some time in the car, which is always great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's share where they can find you on social media real quick. And we'll make sure to link it as well.
Yep. Yeah. Social media. So it's, there's all kinds of different ways. On Facebook, Wendy Eggert. On Twitter, I'm still on the Twitter world, in NASCAR, at Wendy Venturini. And of course, on Instagram, at Wendy Eggert. So I know it's a little confusing because I still use my maiden name in NASCAR. Everyone's like, wait, what? So Venturini Eggert, right?
Yes.
And don't call him Mr. Venturini. Whatever you do, please, when you meet Jared or see Jared. And that's our standing joke, Mr. Venturini. He's great. He's an awesome support system. I couldn't do it without him, really.
Aw, you guys make a great team. Thank you so much, Wendy, for joining us today, guys. Thank you for listening. Definitely go check her out on all of those different social channels. And like I said, if you're in the area, go visit her gym. She's building great communities up there in the Burlington Central Triad area. And more to come, hopefully. Right, Wendy?
I hope so. I'm ready. Ready to go. Right. Full steam ahead.
Yes. All right, guys. Hope everyone has a great day. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.